Why has Triple H been so successful? Why is Triple H running WWE better than Vince McMahon and Bruce Prichard on Monday and Friday night? Long-term booking.
So very much for joining me right here on Off the Script. This is your Friday Night SmackDown post show for December 22nd, 2023. I am your host, JD from New York, as always, coming to you live from the OTS venue. Thank you guys so very much for joining me on your Friday nights, wherever you may be, man. There's only two more sleeps, I guess three more sleeps, depending on where you are. Three more sleeps. Until Santa Claus comes down the chimney, man, and you get nothing for Christmas in 2023. Don't be on the naughty list, is all I have to say, man. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but the IWC is getting nothing but coal. You've all been nasty to me, okay? Maybe you'll be a good boy in 2024. SmackDown tonight, man, I didn't really, and I apologize in advance if my cat Bacardi starts crying because she just awoken from her slumber, and she usually loves to meow when I'm live on air, because she just somehow knows. Just pranced into my frame. Can't see her, though, because I got the green screen up, but.
Oh, but JD, I thought you were in a real bar, man.
No, you fucking idiot. It's a green screen. Why would I be in a real bar every night of the week? What am I, a fucking alcoholic? Ridiculous. SmackDown, man. I didn't really care about SmackDown tonight. I kind of peaked the spoilers for the show. Well, before the show. I actually peaked them last week before I went to sleep on Friday night after last week's stream. But it doesn't mean it's a bad show. That doesn't mean I felt like it was a bad show. The taped shows always give you this weird vibe, man. There's no excitement around fake, I'll mention the word fake here. There's no excitement around all the fake sound effects and the fake noises that they put into the show. You know, it's very difficult to really get excited about what's going on because all you hear is WWE pump in this artificial crowd noise, and it's, you just hear it. It's not genuine, it's not organic, it's not natural, nothing about it screams excitement. They just pump it in to the show, and it just sounds terrible. And it ruins the show, to be quite honest with you, to an extent, but whatever they put into the show tonight, certain aspects of the show, I thought were really, really great matches. We had Pete Dunne. I don't know what we're waiting for to give this guy his name back. He's still operating under the name Butch. Butch wrestled Dragon Lee for the NXT North American Championship. I don't even know. Is this a main roster title now? Did they move this title up from NXT and put it on SmackDown? I mean, I don't know. We got the North American title and the United States Championship in the same vein here. It's on the same show. I don't really understand why. But Dragon Lee and Pete Dunne had a fantastic match, so much so that I feel like Pete Dunne and Dragon Lee, they had their best match individually, their best match tonight on SmackDown. I thought both of them did a fantastic job, and it was a banger match. That was for the North American Championship. The United States Championship had two semifinal matches in the U.S. title tournament to determine who wrestles Logan Paul at the Royal Rumble. Kevin Owens versus Carmelo Hayes from NXT and Karrion Kross got eliminated. We'll talk about Kross in a second. And then Bobby Lashley, who ended up beating Karrion Kross against Santos Escobar. Santos wasn't alone, though. Santos wasn't alone. He actually had the help of two masked men who revealed themselves to be Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo. He's back. My guy, my boy Humberto is back, man. Oh, man. He went away for a little bit, but now we get to bring back that shtick, man. Humberto Carrillo. He's back. It's great. It's a great move. Thought they looked good together. We'll talk about that a little bit later. No more of the other guys that he was with. Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wilde. No more. This is his new Legado del Fantasma. I don't know. Karrion Kross, I mentioned him a little bit ago by mistake, mental error. Karrion Kross, man, is the talk of SmackDown tonight. Probably the best thing that happened on the entire show, to be quite honest with you, and it was only a minute long. Karrion Kross cut probably his best promo ever in WWE. He looks great. His facial expressions were fucking fantastic. His facial expressions were. And he basically told you guys that he's not alone here. And we've seen the silhouettes of three mysterious men. We got Akam, we got Rezar, and we got Paul Ellering. The authors of Pain are back. Not really officially yet, but I guess unofficially. It's unofficially official. The authors of Pain will be joining Karrion Kross in a new stable on SmackDown. This is exactly what we were talking about, man. I'm glad that Karrion Kross finally has a fucking direction in 2024, man. Gonna be awesome. It's gonna be so good to see him just kind of break out and mold whatever he's doing here. I think this is a great move. And this is exactly what he's needed, man. Far too long. The promo was great. It documented everything he's been, but now 2024 is gonna be a brand new chapter for him. He's gonna need a bunch of authors to help him pen this story. And that is now Paul Ellering's Authors of Pain. They are back. They've been signed for over a year, and now finally they have some creative direction for the Authors of Pain. Excellent move. Can't wait to see how that plays out. And then we got AJ Styles back. AJ Styles last week, he attacked LA Knight, and everybody was wondering, is he heel or is he babyface? I said last week that I didn't really think AJ was a heel in this sense. I think AJ was just going into business for himself because AJ was pissed. AJ was pissed that LA Knight kind of stole his spot. LA Knight teamed with John Cena at Crown Jewel, or not at Crown Jewel, at Fastlane. And we got a bomb in the chat before we go anywhere, man. Tay-Tay the Savior with a 99.99 bomb in the chat. Oh, my goodness. He says, Merry Christmas. Pete Dunne needs to come back in 2024. No more Butch. Let me at him, Scoob! I'm excited for the new Legado del Fantasma, Cross's new faction with AOP, and the finals. Also, who do you think should win the triple threat match in 2 weeks? And why did Io Sky have to take the pin? I don't know. That's a good question, Tay-Tay. I think Io took the pin because they're going to pin it on Bayley somehow. Doesn't really matter if Kyrie took the pin or Asuka took the pin. It's going to look a lot worse for Bayley being the leader of damage control. All the more reason to kick her out because Io got pinned. That's my say in that matter. Who do I think is going to win the triple threat match? I think it's going to be AJ Styles. I think AJ Styles wins. He pins LA Knight and we move on to get AJ Styles and Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. Tay-Tay, once again, thank you, brother, for the $100 super chat and Merry Christmas to not only Tay-Tay, but to everybody else. I love the energy in here tonight, man. Join Tay-Tay and get your questions in super chats. We'll hang out last call at the end of the show. So thank you guys very much for the great energy so far tonight on the SmackDown post. AJ Styles, I said last week that I didn't think AJ was going heel, and he's got every reason to really come out and be as angry as he is. Randy's back. Randy wants Roman Reigns. Now, LA Knight somehow wants Roman Reigns. He lost the crown jewel to Roman. AJ feels that LA Knight kind of stepped into his role. He was supposed to team with John Cena at Fastlane and ended up being LA Knight. So AJ's back with a vengeance, man. He's been out for 3 months. And he wants what is rightfully his. Roman and the Bloodline put him out. It was Solo Sikoa that put him out along with Jimmy. He wants his revenge. He wants his revenge first, because before anybody here in this triple threat match, anybody that had a problem with Roman Reigns, out of all three of them, it's AJ who did it first, not LA Knight and not Randy Orton. LA Knight ain't beating Roman Reigns. I don't know even why we're entertaining the idea of another match between these two guys. And then Randy Orton, you know, Randy Orton and Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble, I don't really see that taking place at the Royal Rumble. I save that for 50,000 plus at Principality, what is it, Principality Stadium? What is it called? Fucking New Zealand, Australia, where the Perth, wherever the fuck they are. Perth, Australia for the Elimination Chamber. So I think that's probably where they're going to go with that. And AJ, I liked AJ tonight, man. AJ was a little rogue. AJ was wearing all black. He looked like a fucking hitman out there. You know, this badass, nasty attitude, I don't give a shit attitude. I like it. I like it. This is exactly what AJ needed, man. You can't bring AJ back as the phenomenal one, and he's teaming with the OC. No. This is great. It's a great look for AJ Styles, man. You don't have to do too much to change him and make him feel different. And that's exactly what they did with his return last week, and then again this week explaining his actions. So we'll get into all that. And we'll talk about the United States Championship Tournament, those two matches, one obviously better than the other, and AJ was in the main event against Solo Sikoa, and it set up what it was for the 2 weeks from tonight's show. It's called New Year's Revolution, so there you guys go with that. We'll talk about that here on OTS. I want to thank everybody that's throwing in to the Super Chats. My guy, Dr. Evil Genius, from his podcast channel, Talking Shit with the 499. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, JD. I want you guys to go click on Talking Shit, man. That's my guy, Dr. Evil Genius's other channel, his main channel. Click the link and go subscribe to his channel, man. Some good stuff over there. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. I still call it Twitter. Fuck off. X. Whatever you guys are calling it nowadays. Go follow me over there. It's the best place to keep up to date on everything. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for all notifications. We are 19 subscribers away from 151,000 subscribers on YouTube, man. Thank you guys very much for all the support. It's going to be a kick-ass 2024. I already feel it. Go check out all the other videos on the channel. I uploaded a great 30-minute-plus news video today. We talked about Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné. Oh, my goodness. Mercedes Moné wanting just as much, if not more money, because of the Charlotte Flair contract. The largest contract in women's wrestling history, signed by Charlotte Flair. Mercedes wants that same thing. I talk about it all in today's extra. Go and check that out. It's on the homepage if you missed any of it. Jason Barker with a $100 super chat. I'm joining in all the fun. Everyone, please show JD some love by giving him a thumbs up and get him to 151K. Christmas spirit, please. OTS for life. Jason Barker, the IWC Tribal Chief, with a $100 bomb. Thank you so much, man. Thank you guys for all the love so far. And yes, hit that thumbs up. We got 1,400 in here. I know SmackDown and WWE on Friday nights isn't really a vibe, but I'd love to see a goal of 750 likes on the stream, so let's see if we can do that. Memberships are open. Get them on in. Lord Umbasa becomes a new member. Brother, what the fuck are you drinking tonight, man? Thank you for the membership, and welcome to the VIP club. Tonight's show is sponsored by my great friends over at Magic Mind. MagicMind.com/JD from NY. Click the link that I pinned atop the live stream chat. 56% off. Oh my goodness. 56% off your first subscription for the next 10 days.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Danny Rage with a $99.99 super chat. Oh my goodness. Merry Christmas, JD. Love the fire you are bringing tonight. Thought Nick all this shine tonight. Will be interesting to see what 2024 brings for him. Oh my goodness. Danny Rage, Tay-Tay the Savior, and Jason Barker with bombs tonight. Oh, my God, man. Santa Claus. Making him jealous. I don't know. Thank you guys very much, man. MagicMind.com. Go and get yours, man. I use it. I love it. I would never promote anything on this show I have not used and enjoy. MagicMind.com/JD from NY. Use that promo code JDNY at checkout to get up to 56% off. Let's talk about the opening of this show, man. The first thing that we expected to hear from or hear about is AJ Styles. He opened the show. The arena was very holiday themed. Christmas trees, snow, and presents strewn all about in Green Bay. Styles made his entrance, and they aired a clip from 3 months ago where they showed Solo Sikoa leaping off a platform or production crates on top of AJ, driving him through a table 3 months ago. This is what wrote him off of television. I don't know what was wrong with AJ, but it might have been a serious injury out for 3 months. Then they went to the ring where Styles is in the ring with a microphone, and he basically said that Randy Orton, listen, he wants Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. LA Knight wants Roman Reigns anytime, any place, anywhere. I don't blame either one of them, he says. Says he doesn't give a shit about either one of those guys either. He says he wants Reigns at the Royal Rumble. LA Knight's music then played. Yeah! Corey Graves said LA Knight has something to say about AJ Styles not giving a shit about him. LA Knight said the first one on his list now could be AJ Styles, even though Roman Reigns sat atop his list for all these weeks. Styles says he forgets so easily that he stepped over his dead body to get a match, teaming with John Cena against the Bloodline, leading to a match at Crown Jewel against Roman Reigns. LA Knight then got in the ring and then said, if anyone gets in his way, he'll drop them too. Yeah. Randy Orton's music played. He walked out. Also, microphone in hand. Orton gets in the ring. And Orton said he enjoyed being at home. but he was missing his second home inside the ring during the 18 months he was out of action due to the bloodline. When he entered the ring, LA Knight jumped in and said, listen, the bloodline took out Styles and Orton, but not him, which means I'm bulletproof at this point. Yeah. Nick Aldis, he came out and interrupted all three of these guys arguing. They were 1 minute away from throwing shots at each other. Nick Aldis interrupted and said, listen. The way that I see it, each of them has a legitimate claim to face Roman Reigns. So we decided to give them a legitimate opportunity to face him at the Royal Rumble. He said in 2 weeks, they present SmackDown New Year's Revolution. And it'll feature Randy Orton versus LA Knight. Yeah. Against AJ Styles in a triple threat match. The winner gets Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. Styles said that works for him. And if anyone gets close to the ring during his match later with Solo, he'll take them out too. This was a basic segment. I'm glad we got some sort of explanation as to why AJ attacked LA Knight. Some sort of an explanation if you want to take it as an explanation. He was upset. He felt slighted by LA Knight. He feels LA Knight took his spot in the match with John Cena at Fastlane, which then led to LA Knight getting the endorsement from John Cena to go wrestle Roman Reigns at Crown Jewel. AJ Styles also feels that LA Knight already wrestled Roman Reigns and lost. So, I mean, he's already had his chance. Now he's back to get his. So LA Knight is right now, I think, the odd man out of this entire situation because he's already had a shot against Roman Reigns. And right now he's only there because there really isn't anything else for him to do. You can't move him down. You can't have him go after the United States title because that's right now occupied by Logan Paul and they got a tournament going on. So instead of giving LA Knight just bullshit to do, keep him mingling with the top guys. Keep him next to Randy Orton. Keep his name in the conversation with Roman Reigns. Have him mingle with AJ Styles. Build his stock up. Pretend. I don't want to say pretend because he's a bigger star. He's probably the biggest babyface in the company, but present him as a top-level guy. People are going to perceive him as a top-level guy the more he hangs around guys like Randy Orton and AJ Styles and Roman Reigns. Now, I said this weeks ago. People are starting to now pick up on what I've been saying. LA Knight is out. LA Knight's not getting the match against Roman Reigns. We've already been there, done that. He's not winning the title. Roman's not dropping the title before Cody, okay? AJ Styles. A lot of people are picking up on what I have been saying should be the case here. AJ and Roman at the Royal Rumble is a fine match for the Royal Rumble. AJ, I take nothing away from AJ. AJ is one of my favorite performers in the entire company. But AJ and Roman in a large soccer stadium with 50,000 people for the Elimination Chamber, AJ Styles and Roman Reigns doesn't really fit the bill there. Not to say that AJ isn't a big name. He's not as big of a name as Randy Orton. I'm just going off perception here. I'm going off just how these guys are presented on television, where they fall in line in the pecking order. Royal Rumble's a big show, but you got to understand that the Royal Rumble World Championship matches that fall on the undercard, that's exactly what they are. They're the undercard. I want you guys to understand this. I don't speak out of my ass because, you know, it sounds good or I'm Mr. Know-it-all. I speak from, you know, a very old soul, old mindset. The World Championship should be the last fucking thing on the show. If Roman's defending the championship against AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble or Randy Orton at the Royal Rumble, it's not going on last. It's not. The Royal Rumble's going on last. Roman's probably going to open the fucking show, to be honest with you. You got to understand that Roman doesn't close the show unless it's a final match. Unless it's the biggest match of the night. The World Championship matches at the Royal Rumble, they're not the biggest matches of the night. They never are. So I don't know why. I mean, did Roman even main event with Seth Rollins when he defended the championship? No, he did not. Did Roman Reigns ever give you a perception, or was he ever presented as far as, yeah, we'll just throw Roman in the middle of the show? No. Roman either opens the show or closes the show. Roman and Randy Orton, if it happens at the Royal Rumble, it's not going on in the middle of the show. The winner of the Royal Rumble is going to be big enough to close the fucking show. That's the last thing you're going to see in Tampa. It's not going to be AJ. It's not going to be Randy. It's not going to be Roman. It's going to be who wins the Royal Rumble, whether it's Cody or CM Punk. That's the last thing you're going to see. Randy Orton's a bigger name for 50,000 people in a fucking soccer stadium in a completely different country. AJ Styles is perfect here in Tampa at the Royal Rumble. Perfect. Don't know why we want to switch roles here or switch the way creative is supposed to be. AJ at the Rumble, Randy Orton at Elimination Chamber, and then Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania. Boom. How we get Cody onto SmackDown, I don't know. Maybe Cody wins the Royal Rumble. I don't know. Cody may have to win the Royal Rumble. I'm thinking about it now. You know, everybody wants CM Punk to win the Royal Rumble. I'm going with Cody. Punk should win the Royal Rumble if you want to get him and Rollins, but Punk can do the Elimination Chamber. Punk can win the Chamber and then go and get Rollins. But Cody's got a longer and more difficult task ahead of him. If Cody doesn't win the Royal Rumble, he's still a Monday Night Raw superstar. How do you get him over to SmackDown to have him challenge Roman Reigns? SmackDown, at that point, if Punk wins the Royal Rumble, the Elimination Chamber will be for a SmackDown championship match against Roman. I don't know why I'm going off in this tangent. It just got me thinking now. But discussion is discussion, right? How do we get Cody over to SmackDown? If CM Punk wins the Royal Rumble, Cody's still a Monday Night Raw superstar. How do we get him over to SmackDown? SmackDown would probably have to be an Elimination Chamber match, and Cody's not on SmackDown, so what is he going to do there? Bargain with Nick Aldis to get over there? Kind of stupid. Cody wins the Rumble, challenges Roman, and then Punk wins the Chamber, and boom. The Chamber for Raw would be easy for Punk to win. He challenges Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. Boom, boom, boom. There you go. Cody makes more sense winning the Royal Rumble, even though a lot of people don't want to see, myself included, don't want to see Cody Rhodes win a second Royal Rumble 2 years in a row. But yes, AJ at the Rumble, Orton at the Chamber. Easy. Side note, I want you guys to pay attention or go back and watch Randy Orton. He made a little facial expression towards Nick Aldis. Didn't Nick Aldis, upon signing Randy Orton, trying to convince him to sign to SmackDown, didn't Randy Orton get promised by Nick Aldis, if you sign with SmackDown, I can give you what Adam Pearce cannot give you, and that is Roman and the bloodline? What is Nick Aldis doing here to give Randy Orton the bloodline? If Nick Aldis wanted to give Randy Orton the bloodline, he would give Randy Orton the fucking match at the Royal Rumble against Roman Reigns. He did not do that. So Nick Aldis has already went back on his promise to Randy Orton. Who was it that called it? Was it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? Who was it that called it? Keep an eye out. Everybody's thinking, well, Randy's back. What do we do with Randy at WrestleMania? There's a couple of options, but there is no better option than Nick Aldis against Randy Orton. Now, why Nick Aldis? Why Nick Aldis? Because AJ versus Randy, we've seen it. And then Solo versus Randy. Why would he wrestle Roman only to wrestle Solo at WrestleMania? It doesn't really make sense. It's like you're going backwards. That doesn't make any sense at all. So you lost to the tribal chief, but beating one of his servants, one of his little low-key fucking hand-me-down guys is good, right? That'll square away Randy Orton for getting revenge on the bloodline. No. Now, it doesn't work that way. Randy's revenge comes when he beats Roman, but he's not beating Roman. Nick Aldis versus Randy Orton is a prime match to keep an eye out for heading into WrestleMania. His facial expression said it all tonight. It was very minuscule. It was there. It was quick. If you've seen it, you've seen it. Keep an eye on it. He's already let him down once. He promised him the bloodline. This ain't promising him the bloodline. If he promised him the bloodline, he'd give Randy Orton the fucking match at Royal Rumble. So now he's got to go through LA Knight and AJ Styles. Additionally, Randy Orton's already fined for RKOing Nick Aldis. $50,000, quote unquote, kayfabe. Randy Orton gave him $100,000. Nick Aldis asked, well, I only fined you $50,000. Randy Orton said, that's just $50,000 on top of the original $50,000 because you got another one coming. Because he anticipates getting fined again. Nick Aldis will break out of the GM role. And the new GM on SmackDown will be William Regal as his non-compete from AEW is coming up very soon. William Regal's probably one of the best authority figures in WWE history with the work that he did on NXT Black and Gold. I could see Triple H wanting William Regal back on television in that type of role. While Nick Aldis, we all know, is not old. He's still in his prime. He's chiseled out of fucking granite. And he's one of the best storytellers in all of professional wrestling, but he's wearing a fucking suit every single week on Friday Night SmackDown, acting as the GM. Guy should be in the fucking ring. But the problem is, nobody knew who Nick Aldis was. When they brought him in, they didn't know what to do with him. Can't put you on TV. It's going to be too long, too much to get you over in the time that we need you. So we'll make you GM. It's innocent. It's a small role. You get to play the part, and people will know who you are. You get to act like a fucking boss and an authority figure and a prick, and we'll start a program with you and Randy. Get to mingle with some of the top guys, get to shoot the shit, create some dialogue, and boom, there you go. Now you know who Nick Aldis is. Very simple, very effective. Now I see Nick Aldis kind of breaking out of that. In comes William Regal, Nick Aldis, Randy Orton at WrestleMania. That sounds good to me. Sounds absolutely perfect to me for a Randy Orton opponent. Man, you guys are killing it tonight, man. I don't know. Oh, my God. Thomas Franco with a $100 bomb. Hey, JD, Merry Christmas. Here's a bomb. We all appreciate your work and looking forward to 2024. Keep up the great work. Thomas Franco, thank you so much, brother. Merry Christmas to you and your family as well. If you heard the Nick Aldis narrative floating around on social media, they probably listened to my show and then stole my idea. Called it about 3 weeks ago. There you guys go, man. I remember where I was, too. It was when Randy came back and he signed the contract. We were in Atlantic City. I was in my office down there, and boom, we talked about it then. Now everybody's starting to pick up on it. I wonder why. But typically, I don't get credit. Oh, where'd you hear that from? Oh, yeah, I came up with it myself. Yeah, I didn't hear it from JD or anything. Sure. Sure thing. Keep an eye out for that. Shotzi! To team with Meechin, Mia Yim, Zelina Vega, and Bianca Belair versus Damage Control, Bayley, Io, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. This was one of those holiday matches. This was a big eight-woman tag team match. It had some weird name, some gimmicky name, holiday something, holiday bash match, or whatever the fuck it was called. It was a big eight-man tag. There was no tags. It was like a whole eight-woman Texas tornado match. That's all it was. So all eight women jump-started the match. They brawled to the outside. The only two in the ring were Bianca Belair and Io Sky, and they both traded flips before Belair landed a dropkick and a vertical suplex to take the upper hand. Bayley ran into the ring and kicked Belair to the outside. Shotzi there into the ring with a big gift box. They wrapped all the gifts in blue because, duh, SmackDown. And the gift was actually a chair. So all the presents were wrapped in blue gift wrap. How fucking creative, man. Wow, Bruce Pritchard, man. He never ceases to amaze me, huh? Shotzi then entered the ring with a big gift box, had a chair in it. Bayley attacked Shotzi, picked up the chair. Shotzi gained control, landed a splash onto Bayley after jumping off the chair. Shotzi then landed a splash onto Damage Control, who were all on the outside. Meechin and Vega, they fired up. Little tag team pairing here with Mia Yim and Vega. They were attacked by Asuka and Kairi Sane with candy cane kendo sticks because of Christmas. Shotzi and Belair then attacks Kairi Sane and Asuka with the kendo sticks. Belair and Shotzi pulled out a table from underneath the ring. Bayley and Sky cut them off and ran the table into Belair and Shotzi ahead of a commercial break. So the baby faces were down here. Show came back. There were bodies everywhere in the ring, outside the ring. There was gift boxes in the ring. Asuka and Meechin faced off. Meechin hit a powerbomb on Asuka. Io followed up with a shotgun dropkick for a two count. So Io and Belair were alone in the ring, and Belair kicked Sky before breaking a gift box over her head. It was clearly empty, but she was wearing the box on her head, was Io. Shotzi came off the top rope, and Bianca had Io in an electric chair position. Shotzi came off the top rope with a missile dropkick, and Bianca Belair with an electric chair slam down, double team. Kairi Sane busted open another gift box around a trash can lid, which she used to basically knock Shotzi out of the match. Sane threw Shotzi into a Christmas tree, and Vega attacked Kairi. Asuka then comes over and used the blue mist on Zelina Vega. She was blinded. She was also cream pied or whatever the case may be. She was Tony Stormed tonight. Asuka cream pied Zelina Vega. You didn't hear it from me. It happened live on television. Bayley attacked Belair, and Bayley with Asuka worked over Belair on the outside. Kairi Sane and Asuka found a bigger gift box and opened it. It looked like a casket. Someone wrapped a casket in blue gift wrap, is what it looked like. And in this casket, or whatever it was, this box, Isla Dawn and Alba Fire. Yes, they're still alive. Yes, they're still employed. They came out of this box and they beat the women's tag team champions up in the aisleway. Kairi Sane and Asuka taken out. Back inside the ring, Belair lifted Bayley, hit the KOD, but Sky came off the top rope and hit a moonsault. Meechin ran in and landed Eat Defeat on Io, put Io on a table that was propped up in the ring. Meechin hit a senton off the table through Sky to pin the women's champion. 1, 2, 3. Mia Yim pins the WWE women's champion, Io Sky. Now, Tay-Tay, the savior with $100 super chat, asked me earlier, I didn't like Io Sky getting pinned. Why did she get pinned, he says. Well, the reason why Io got pinned is not because Mia Yim is getting a championship match. I mean, that could very well be the case. I mean, they need matches for New Year's Revolution on SmackDown, right, in 2 weeks. I could see that being the case. That's one option. But I see this more as Bayley was in there trying to lead her girls to victory, and they're just going to easily blame it on Bayley. The women's champion lost. Where was Bayley? Why didn't you do the things you needed to do to prevent the champion, our champion, Io, from losing? They may use this against Bayley, and it may backfire on her. That's my prediction. But Damage Control loses. Bayley's 1 foot out the door, and Mia Yim pins Io Sky. We'll see what happens there. Not a bad match. Now my cat's awake. If you hear meowing, I apologize in advance. She's literally awake. You just woke up, huh? Yeah, I know. Meow, meow, meow. Watch. She's going to start crying any minute now. Any minute now. So yeah, the baby faces win, and it's one of those two directions for sure. But Bayley basically has 1 foot out the door in Damage Control. They kind of reeled it in. I said this a couple of weeks ago. They reeled it in. They're not really focusing too heavily on it because I think they may be waiting for Sasha Mercedes to come back, and then they can play out that whole story with Bayley not having any friends. She ends up having Mercedes come back, and then we get the Kabuki Warriors versus Bayley and Sasha at WrestleMania. Just my little prediction, just fantasy booking. We'll see how this all plays out. But Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn are interesting choices here to interfere in this match. Now, Damage Control are not the tag team champions yet. Casey Catanzaro, or Katana Chance, whatever you want to call her, Katana Chance and Casey Carter won the, or Casey, Caden? Caden Carter. I don't even know who the fuck is who anymore. Katana Chance and Caden Carter, they won the tag team championships. I could see them losing to the Kabuki Warriors very, very shortly. I know they made a reference that they want all the gold in WWE, but Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn are now back on television, and you can see that Triple H is starting to kind of mold his tag team division. You know, we got a couple of teams. We got Casey and Caden. We got the Kabuki Warriors. We got Isla Dawn and Alba Fyre. Looks like Michin and Zelina Vega will be a tag team. If Bayley ends up getting kicked out of Damage Control, we could see Bayley and Sasha Banks. I don't know who else he plans to pair together. I mean, we got Chelsea and Piper Niven. They're not really a tag team. But I could see him starting to resuscitate the women's tag team division that he wants. He wants more than two teams in the division. He wants a couple of viable teams, at least. If we're going to keep these championships around, he wants a couple of viable teams in the division that he could lean on so we don't get the same fucking matches all the time. I mean, at least he's trying. At least he's trying. So we'll see what happens there. Interesting that we got them back on television, but the baby faces win. Keep an eye on what happens to Bayley next. Should be a big Royal Rumble for Bayley, whether she wins or loses. Jimmy Uso, he was talking to Solo Sikoa backstage. He got the call, which was an audible, when he was under pressure. Camera panned over to Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns, who were sitting to the side. Roman Reigns, he kind of looked over at Jimmy and gave him a weird facial expression, shook his head. He asked Heyman who the SmackDown GM is. Heyman told him Nick Aldis. Reigns told Heyman to bring him Nick Aldis. Heyman got wide-eyed and said, "Yes, my tribal chief." "Bring him to me," says Roman Reigns. Great. Roman Reigns is upset that Nick Aldis made a triple threat match to determine his next challenger at the Royal Rumble. Roman's not going to like that because Roman feels that every decision that is made on Friday night has to go through the tribal chief. Roman is not in charge. No matter how much he wants to feel like he's in charge, he's not in charge. Dragon Lee. He defended the NXT North American Championship against Butch. "Let me at him! Let me at him, Scoob!" "Reggie?" Yeah, we're still calling him Butch. At least he's not acting like a fucking cartoon dog anymore. If this was Bruce Pritchard's show, he'd probably be out there popping some Scooby snacks. Dragon Lee, man. Dragon Lee's a main roster guy. They sent him down to NXT. They had him fill in for Wes Lee. Win the North American Championship against Dominic Mysterio. And now, instead of having it be on Wesley, who's an NXT guy, who's now out with injury, now it went right back to a main roster guy. So it went from Dominic to Dragon Lee, main roster guy to main roster guy. Meanwhile, this is their Intercontinental title. This is their secondary title, which is still on SmackDown. Don't know why. That's a problem. WWE Creative got put in a bad spot. Wesley got hurt. He was the guy that was supposed to take it off Dominic Mysterio, and now Dragon Lee is holding a championship that he was never intended to win. But he's on SmackDown, and WWE seemingly gives Dragon Lee a nice little spot on SmackDown every single week. If there's one constant, it's Dragon Lee. Butch, he went for an armbar early. Dragon Lee fought out, too slowed the match down. Butch ran at Lee and hit an elbow. Butch then worked over Lee's arms and fingers. Joint manipulation is what he calls it. Butch chopped Lee. Lee fought back, hit a boot to the face. Butch answered with a chop of his own. Lee went back to a boot to the head. With Butch on the outside, Lee went for a dive, but Butch cut him off with a kick and suplex on the apron. We go to commercial break. Butch is working Dragon Lee's fingers and arms again with some more joint manipulation. Butch stomped on Lee's hands. Lee came back with a leaping Frankensteiner that took Butch to the outside. Butch was in the corner. Lee landed a running dropkick. Lee went for a power bomb, but Butch countered with a tiger bomb. Looks like he landed Dragon Lee right on his head first. Gets a two count near fall. So they both get up. They're on their knees. They're trading chops back and forth. Then they traded snap German suplexes. Butch lifted Lee up, but Lee got out of it. Hit a sit-out powerbomb for a great-looking spot. Two count by Dragon Lee. Butch then goes to the top rope. Lee cut him off, and Butch was stuck in a tree of woe. Lee went to the top. Butch snapped Lee's finger. Lee landed a double stomp. Lee then ran at Butch. Butch countered with a bitter end attempt. Lee countered with a destroyer. From there, Lee hit the Operation Dragon for the win, which is his finishing move. And Dragon Lee retains the NXT North American Championship. Don't know why we have the North American Championship on the main roster being defended as if it's fucking the International Championship in AEW. What did Butch do to get a championship match? Why are we having Dragon Lee defend against random people? The North American Championship is more valuable than that. So for all the geeks out there that want to chime in and blame, oh, well, Orange Cassidy defends his championship against anybody every single week. What do you think they got Dragon Lee doing? How many times has this title been defended in absolutely nothing matches? Why? I get it. It was a great match. But I could see great matches anywhere. Why is Dragon Lee defending the North American title on the main roster? Why is Dragon Lee defending the North American title against another main roster wrestler in Pete Dunne, who's done nothing to get a championship match? Not good, man. Not good. If I got to call it out over there, I'm going to call it out over here. But the difference is they probably had their best individual matches all year together here. This was Dragon Lee's best match on the main roster. Probably the best match that he's had so far in WWE. And this is Pete Dunne's best match all year. Singles match. But I'm going to need a little bit more explanation. I'm going to need to stop seeing NXT titles and NXT talent float between the main roster and Tuesday night and back and forth. Get their shit on their show and keep it separated from Monday night and Friday night. Simple. This is not a TV rights fucking scam. They got their money. They got their TV rights deals for next year and the next 5 years. Let's cut the shit. Roman Reigns. They set it up on NXT. I don't give a shit. NXT's not SmackDown. We have split rosters. Raw is Raw. SmackDown is SmackDown. And NXT is NXT. We just can't fucking break the rules. Stop defending garbage. It's one way to piss me the fuck off. I don't give a fuck what they set up on NXT. It should not be set up, period. Roman Reigns. He was shown sitting backstage, and Heyman introduced Nick Aldis. He stood in front of Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns asked Paul Heyman to leave. Aldis sat down, and Reigns asked Aldis if he booked the triple threat and Solo versus AJ, or he booked the triple threat and then Solo and AJ, and Roman Reigns looked at him and said, well, you know, those are good ideas. It's a good idea you got there, man. You booked the triple threat, and then you booked Solo and AJ in the main event. I like the way you're thinking. But a better idea, he says, would have been if you ran it by me first, because I'm not sure if you really understand. I'm the tribal chief around here, says Roman Reigns. Reigns says he's the head of the table and everything goes through him. Reigns said Adam Pearce understood that. Aldis said Pearce is more of a middle management guy and Aldis is a general manager. Aldis said the buck stops with him, and Aldis recounted how Solo took care of John Cena in a way Reigns wasn't able to take care of John Cena. Ooh. Nick Aldis got some one-liners there against the tribal chief, man, huh? Aldis said he's looking forward to the triple threat match, and he appreciated the communication with Roman Reigns. Aldis then said he hoped he and Reigns could get to know each other a little bit better. Reigns then looked on as Nick Aldis walked away from this meeting with the head of the table. Told you, man, Nick Aldis, he's got some dialogue brewing there with Roman. He's taking an RKO from Randy Orton. So Nick Aldis, man, now you know who Nick Aldis is. So when Nick Aldis sheds the suit and he becomes pro wrestler Nick Aldis, you'll know who he is now. And he'll be a heel when he does it. Great. Kevin Owens, he went one-on-one with Carmelo Hayes. This was the semifinals of the United States Championship Tournament. Now, Kevin Owens came into this quote-unquote injured here. He's got the cast on his arm. Carmelo Hayes, handpicked by Shawn Michaels to be a part of this United States Championship Tournament, to see who wrestles Logan Paul at the Royal Rumble. So Logan Paul had a picture-in-picture promo. I don't know where he was. He was probably at home. He said that Hayes needs to beat Owens because basically Logan Paul hates Kevin Owens. So basically what Logan Paul did there was give away the winner of the tournament. It's basically what he did there. They two locked up, and they had a stalemate early. Hayes tried to work Owens' arm, work the hands. Owens got his leg on the rope for a break. They traded headlocks back and forth. Very even in the first couple of minutes. Hayes landed a drop kick and got the best of Kevin Owens. Owens came back and responded with a back fist, some chops. He hits a senton. Carmelo came back with the springboard clothesline, which looked great because it came out of nowhere. We go to the outside where Owens threw Hayes into the ringside steps, and we go to commercial break. Owens and Hayes are in the ring. Carmelo body slammed Kevin Owens. Hayes hits a step up enziguri and then an axe kick for two. Carmelo went for a suplex, but Owens fought his way out. Hayes hits a face buster on Owens, goes for a cover, gets a two. Owens then draped Hayes on the top rope, hits a spike DDT for a two count of his own. They traded super kicks. Owens then chopped Hayes and landed a vicious-looking clothesline. Owens went for a pop-up powerbomb. Hayes seen it coming. He countered. He went to the top for nothing but net, his big top rope leg drop. Owens ultimately landed the powerbomb after Carmelo missed and had to roll through, swanton bomb, and then a stunner for the win. So I'm glad that they did not go with the cast and have the cast be a factor in Kevin Owens beating Carmelo Hayes like he used it to beat Austin Theory. Great. This was all about building Carmelo Hayes up as a credible opponent. And a credible call-up when his name gets called up to the main roster. Now, was this match better than what we got last week with Austin Theory? No. No, it was not, which I'm actually shocked by. They gave Austin Theory and Kevin Owens double the amount of time that they gave Kevin Owens and Carmelo Hayes. I figured that we would see a little bit more out of this match, being that this was the match everybody was excited for in this tournament when it came to Carmelo Hayes. Hayes wrestled Waller, had a very good match and a very good showing. But we figured WWE would won that one up and give us Owens and Melo and have this one be better than what they did last week, both of them. It just felt like it was there. I didn't really get any sense of excitement out of it. Maybe it's because we kind of knew who won this thing before we even got there. I didn't need any spoilers. I didn't need to read anything. You just kind of got a sense that Kevin Owens was going to win this thing. Maybe that's what WWE was thinking. They didn't want to go all in on a match that was pretty much determined already before the bell rung. So why even have someone like Carmelo in the tournament? Why didn't we just go with Cameron Grimes or someone who's already on the main roster? But I'm glad Carmelo got the exposure because after he's done with Trick Williams, he's getting called up to the main roster. It's time. He fits like a glove on SmackDown. And I just wish there was a little bit more out of Melo here. Melo and Logan Paul probably would have been a banger match in itself. They could have teased it actually becoming a reality instead of just quickly going to the anticlimactic ending. Powerbomb, Swanton, Stunner, and that's basically it. But like I said, I'm glad he didn't win with the cast because Melo doesn't deserve that cheap victory. He beat him clean. And then after the match, Kevin Owens put his hand out and raised Melo up and gave him a sign of respect. And I really liked that. That was actually my favorite part of the entire thing, the match included. Because you don't really see that much out of Kevin Owens. And the reason why Kevin Owens did that is because at one point or another, he was in the same shoes, the same spot that Melo was in. Kevin Owens, it was in the same spot as Melo here, but Owens had John Cena. And he gave Melo some respect because he knows exactly what Melo is going to be doing in a couple of years and knows exactly where he's going to be and knows that this isn't the last time they'll probably be in the ring together. Good stuff. Just expected a little bit more out of it. AJ Styles was shown backstage. The OC walked up to him. All of the OC walked up to him. And this did not go the way that they had anticipated. Meechan ran up and hugged AJ Styles and said they missed him. Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows walked up to him. Anderson said, well, listen, man, we didn't hear from you. Are we good? Styles glared at him and said, I don't know. Are we? And then he walked away. They all looked. Luke Gallows smiled like he knew that AJ was going to end up being a dick. So he kind of knew. Carl Anderson was like, what the fuck is this guy's problem? Meechan, she went to go hug AJ and AJ was like, hey, get off me, bitch. Moved her arm away. Get away from me. Are we good? And he walks away. Whatever the case may be. I don't know. AJ, man, I like this darker, I don't give a shit attitude by AJ, man. I like it. I like it. We're going to get into the Karrion Kross promo in just a second. I want to step away. I want to give some time to my sponsor for tonight's show. Tonight's show is sponsored by my great friends over at Magic Mind. MagicMind.com/JD from NY. You guys are going to use that promo code JDNY at checkout to save 56% off your first subscription. Tonight's show, sponsored by my great friends over at Magic Mind. Guys, I got a confession to make. I am a huge coffee connoisseur. I am. I love coffee. I love a good cup of coffee. It's my kryptonite, actually. But I've come to realize that caffeine doesn't actually give you energy. It blocks the adenosine neuroreceptors in your brain and the neuroreceptors that tell you that you're tired. When the receptors unblock, 1 to 3 hours later, you experience what they call caffeine crash. Now, the matcha in Magic Mind prevents the full blocking of receptors, giving you sustainable energy without a crash. I have looked for alternatives for a very long time, man, and Magic Mind fell into my lap. and it was basically love at first sight. I love this little green bottle. I drink it in the morning. I drink it before I go live to give you guys the best podcast in the entire wrestling community. I drink it before I go to the gym to give me that little extra boost I need when I'm doing my workouts. This little green bottle has helped me fix and improve in several areas of my life. No more procrastination. I'm more focused. I get more done during the day without that midday nap or that midday crashing. No more anxiety. I cut back on the coffee, now back down to normal levels. These are the benefits that I've noticed by using Magic Mind for almost a month, and clearly you see that I love it. Half of this box, this is my second box, is already gone. If you're like me, I would totally recommend Magic Mind. Go to magicmind.com/JDFromNY and join a community of go-getters. You can also use my discount code JDNY to get up to 56% off your first subscription or 20% off your first one-time purchase. That's 56% off. And if you guys want to try Magic Mind, you can now find it in all Sprouts Farmers Market stores across the country. If you have a Sprout store nearby, get down there and grab yourself a couple of bottles of Magic Mind to try out. Once again, that's magicmind.com/JDFromNY. Use that promo code JDNY to save up to 56% off your first subscription or 20% off your first one-time purchase. We are more focused right here on Off the Script, thanks to my sponsors tonight from Magic Mind. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for sticking with me here on the SmackDown Post tonight, sponsored by my great friends over at Magic Mind. Karrion Kross. There was a great video package with Karrion Kross tonight. He says he knows the power of words as they lead to actions. Kross says he took Drew McIntyre's temperament and he spiraled out of control to how you see him and where you see him now. He says he took Rey Mysterio's patience and he attacked his son right in front of his mother. He mentioned the bloodline and how he gave the bloodline the hourglass of time. And now you see where they are and they're crumbling from within. He said he took Shinsuke Nakamura's honor for fun. And now you see where Nakamura is right now with what he's doing to Cody Rhodes. Kross said the story right now that he's telling doesn't have an author, but soon will. Scarlett then asked if we understood and seen the vision now. Meanwhile, we got silhouettes of Akam, Rezar, and Paul Ellering, the authors of pain, are back with the WWE and have been for over a year now. And WWE is pairing them with Karrion Kross in what is the new stable that they are forming on Friday Night SmackDown. Right now, no name. Nothing about it is really known outside of what we've seen with these vignettes. Someone asked me if Karrion Kross does his own vignettes. I don't really know for sure. I know people that know Kross personally. I will say this. Kross is a very creative individual. And a lot of what Kross comes up with, he comes up with on his own. I don't think he's fed and given bullshit. I think he kind of tweaks it and always makes it his own. I think he always puts his own little salt and pepper on things. But tonight, man, and what we saw last week, out of all the vignettes we've seen of Karrion Kross on WWE, this was probably the best vignette. It was like 60 seconds long. This was probably the best vignette that Karrion Kross has cut in all of WWE, and I'm even including his stuff in NXT. This was the best presentation of Kross that we've seen so far. His facial expressions were on point. The way he just viciously smiles in front of the camera. The way he accentuates his words. The way he just sits there and stands there. Just the way he looks. The tone of his voice. Everything about it was fucking perfect. Perfect. I don't know where they're going with this. I don't know where they're going to be positioned, but, you know, we all asked, listen, do something with Cross. Give him some sort of direction. Clearly, it's not working on his own. Whether he's a part of a group or leading a group, this is exactly what he needed. He needed other people around him. They need some sort of dominance and direction on this show, and that's exactly where they're going. Now you got him teamed up with Paul Ellering, and you got Cross who could speak on his own, and then you got Paul Ellering, who's a great speaker in his own right. I like it. Not only that, you're adding another tag team to the tag team ranks, and that also helps as well. I'm very excited about where this is going. I think this is going to be very good for Cross. Santos. He made his way down to the ring. Santos Escobar, that is. Had a one-on-one match with Bobby Lashley. This is the other semifinal match for the United States Championship. This match was not good. This match was not good at all. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't Santos Escobar. I'll tell you that right now. Escobar ran at Lashley to begin the match. Lashley hit a clothesline and worked over Escobar with some punches. He then landed a belly-to-belly suplex. Escobar got tossed across the ring. Lashley threw Escobar around, and that wound up with Lashley throwing Escobar over the top rope to the outside. A little preview of the Royal Rumble. We go to commercial break. We come back from break. Escobar landed a dive onto Lashley. He was on the outside. We get back in the ring with both guys. Escobar worked over Lashley's leg. Escobar went for a pin, but Lashley popped up. Escobar landed some double knees very sloppily in the corner. They did not work well together. Spot like that where Escobar does his running meteora, that was even slightly botched. Escobar worked over Lashley in the corner and placed Lashley on the top rope. Lashley got mad and threw Escobar off the top. Lashley again sold his leg, hit a face buster, and all of a sudden, someone appeared at ringside in a lucha mask. Lashley, slightly distracted here, lifted Escobar high and went to chokeslam him. All of a sudden, another masked man appeared and attacked the Street Profits at ringside, who were standing there in Bobby Lashley's corner. Escobar ended up rolling up Lashley again because of this distraction, hooked the tights, and won the match. Santos Escobar beats Bobby Lashley. Said this last week. The match on paper looked like a mismatch. Bobby Lashley's getting huge babyface reactions with this new faction of him and the Street Profits. Can't really beat him clean. Escobar's on a heel run. He just took out Rey Mysterio. Clearly, they're putting a lot of their eggs in his basket. He can't lose clean. Said this last week. Someone's losing here, and one guy is going to be overly protected in defeat. I thought it was going to be Santos. But they ended up giving Santos the victory over Bobby Lashley, and Bobby Lashley was the one being defeated and protected. Now, the men in the mask, they ended up being revealed tonight. We didn't get any lingering fucking weeks of who are they. We got Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo back on the main roster. I like it. Santos is going to be a vicious heel, especially on the road to WrestleMania. The heel heat, I'm telling you this right now, mark it down, bookmark it. The heel heat that Santos is going to get on his way to his building match at WrestleMania against Rey Mysterio, building his match to WrestleMania with Rey Mysterio, it is going to work wonders for Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo. Because at this point, now you got Rey and the old Legado. You got Rey and you got Joaquin and Cruz against Santos, Humberto, and Angel Garza. They needed a redo. Vince did not know and did not care what he did with Humberto and Angel Garza. Somehow, some way, they got and snuck down to NXT. They got put down on NXT. On NXT, they kind of rebuilt themselves and they got their mojo back and they started to really get that momentum going again. And now they're back on the main roster. Triple H is in charge. And he basically said, you know what? These guys are too good to be down there. Let's call them up. I'm going to fucking work with them. You see, I love it, man. You see what Vince didn't want, that Vince just threw away, and Triple H is actively trying to restore it. I love it. So Angel Garza, Humberto Carrillo, Santos Escobar, the new Legado. Then we got Rey Mysterio when he comes back, Joaquin Wilde, Cruz del Toro. That'll be the LWO. So we got Legado and the LWO now feuding. And then on the way to WrestleMania, we're going to get Santos versus Rey Mysterio, and it's going to be a banger. It's a great move. It's a great move. Yes, Legado del Fantasma 2.0. Where's Carlito fit into all this? I don't know. Carlito may be the odd man out. I don't know what they do with Carlito. Carlito's Puerto Rican. Why is he in the LWO with Rey Mysterio, who's Mexican, Lucha Libre, and the other guys who are Lucha Libre? All these guys are Lucha Libre, but you got the one token Puerto Rican guy in the LWO. Carlito should be on his own. That doesn't mean he can't be friends with Rey Mysterio, but he should not be in the LWO. Logan Paul. He cut a promo backstage saying Escobar isn't in his league, while Owens looks like if Reddit was a person. I actually laughed at that, man. Have you guys ever been on Reddit? Have you guys ever been on the Squared Circle Reddit, man? You know, when you read and look at your computer screens, you can't really get a sense of smell. Every time I'm on Squared Circle Reddit, man, the stench that comes emanating out of my computer just off the sheer virginity that dwells on Squared Circle Reddit is unbelievable. They hate everything and everyone over there. It's disgusting. It's worse than Twitter. You thought Twitter was bad. Go read Squared Circle. Awful. They got some beautiful things to say about me. Holy shit, man. Go Google Squared Circle JD from NY. You'll see all these people out there, man. Glorious. Just hating on me left and right, man. Unbelievable. Sexist. I'm a womanizer. I'm a racist. I'm fucking a bigot. Everything. You name it. You name it. It's on Squared Circle. Logan Paul said they were the only two receiving a temporary clout here. Meechan. She will face Io Sky. There you go. Meechan will face Io Sky for the Women's Championship in 2 weeks at New Year's Revolution. Triple threat to face Roman Reigns of the Royal Rumble. That will be LA Knight. Yeah. Randy Orton and AJ Styles. And the finals of the U.S. title number one contender tournament will be Kevin Owens and Santos Escobar. Butch. He was backstage. He was walking around and started an interview with whoever was there. I don't know. What's her name on SmackDown? Not Mackenzie Mitchell. She was fired. Who is it? Who's on SmackDown? Who's the lady interviewer on SmackDown? Whoever she is. So he said it wasn't his night, and he brought the fight. Pretty Deadly appeared singing Christmas carols. Pretty Deadly was singing Christmas carols. Butch attacked them. Aldis and officials broke up the fight. Aldis told Butch that they do this in the ring. Aldis told Butch to find a partner and take them on in 2 weeks on SmackDown. I wonder if that's Sheamus. Is Sheamus back in 2 weeks on SmackDown? Or is... Now, we've seen that before. I don't want to see that again. I mean, are we going to go Pretty Deadly versus Butch and Sheamus again? Or is this going to be Tyler Bate? I'd rather it be Tyler Bate. Call him up. I'd love to see it. Sign Tyler Bate to SmackDown. Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne against Pretty Deadly. Boom, there you go. It's different. It's new. We haven't seen it before. It's probably going to end up being Sheamus. AJ Styles. He went one-on-one with Solo Sikoa in the main event here. I didn't really care about this. I mean, just tired of the SmackDown main events, including Solo Sikoa. I'm just tired of it. It's boring. We need something more important in the main event, man. Solo Sikoa is not important. He isn't doing anything important right now. The two brawled to start the match. Styles hit some chops. He ran into a back elbow from Solo. Styles dropkicked Solo's knee, took control. Styles kicked Solo to the outside. Styles landed a running knee and a big splash. We go to commercial break. Show came back. Solo back body dropped Styles. These two also did not work well together. I don't know what it was. It might have been some ring rust on AJ. A little miscommunication on some parts. Back and Solo back body dropped Styles. Solo landed a series of punches and headbutts on Styles. Solo threw Styles into the second turnbuckle head first. Solo landed his running hip attack. He then went for a headbutt from the second rope. AJ moved. Styles hit a pair of forearms. Crowd's going crazy. And he landed a moonsault for a two count. Looks sloppy. Styles ran at Solo, but Sokoa hit a Samoan drop, which was botched. And they showed an instant replay of it on the botch. The only reason why they showed the instant replay is because AJ got some height on the Samoan drop. Solo went for a clothesline. Styles countered with a Pele kick. He then set up for the phenomenal forearm, but Solo countered into an attempt of the Samoan spike, which failed. Styles eventually hit the phenomenal forearm, and then out of nowhere, Roman Reigns comes in and causes the DQ. AJ wins by DQ. So after the match, we get Roman beating down AJ. Reigns lifted Styles to his shoulders. Styles got free. Styles took Reigns down with a kick. Styles went after Reigns, but Solo hit the ring and took down Styles. Jimmy's out there as well. He's putting the boots to AJ 3-on-1. Randy Orton's music hit. He made his way to the ring. He went after Solo and went after Reigns. Orton beat on Reigns in the corner. Jimmy came out of nowhere, took down Orton. So it's 3-on-2. LA Knight, his music played. Yeah. And he ran to the ring. Knight took down Jimmy and then went after Solo and Reigns. Now we're even 3-on-3. LA Knight tossed Jimmy into Orton, and Orton tossed Jimmy to the outside. It looked like he was going for the DDT, but he didn't. All three babyfaces stood tall in the ring as the bloodline regrouped in the entryway or in the aisleway. Styles argued with LA Knight, Randy Orton. Styles punched LA Knight and went after Randy. LA Knight took Styles down. Orton and Knight brawled. Reigns held everybody back, and they looked on as the babyfaces were basically beating the shit out of each other. LA Knight, Randy Orton, and AJ Styles brawled as the show went off the air. Was it a terrible holiday show? No. Absolutely not. Was it dull in some parts? Did it feel taped? Absolutely. But Green Bay got two decent episodes of SmackDown that told some decent stories going into New Year's Revolution and then obviously having major implications for the Royal Rumble. So I don't really mind that at all. It was nothing, oh my God, if you missed SmackDown, you didn't really miss much. It wasn't one of those shows where it's like, oh my God, I gotta go and watch SmackDown. No, it wasn't one of those SmackDowns. They moved shit along. They set up some big matches for New Year's Revolution. They set up Roman's match for the Royal Rumble. And we got an interesting interaction with Nick Aldis and Roman Reigns and then Randy Orton and Nick Aldis. There's some things brewing on Friday night, man. So, all in all, they got some stuff working on Friday night. Good stuff. We're going to get into the Super Chats in just a second. I want to thank you guys once again for joining me here on the SmackDown Post. Follow me on social media, on X, at JDFromNY206. X, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for notifications. Have we hit 151,000 subscribers? No. We have not. We're 18 away. We're 18 subscribers away from 151,000 subscribers, man. Go check out all the other content on the channel. There's plenty of it. Uploaded an extra today. There'll be more extras throughout the weekend, man. I think I'll be uploading every day until the end of the year, I think, as long as there's news. So go check out all that stuff. Hit that thumbs up, man. We need 130 likes for 750. That's our goal tonight. Super chats are open. Continue to get them on in. The longer you want me to stay, depends on you. Otherwise, I'm going to go play Destiny and do my Grandmaster Nightfalls. And tonight's show, man, go and check out my sponsor for tonight's show. That is my great friends over at Magic Mind. MagicMind.com/JD for NY. Use that promo code JDNY at checkout to save 56% off. It's good stuff. Vernon Singleton becomes a new member. Mr. Singleton, what the fuck are you drinking tonight, brother? Sunny Singh with a $9.99. This Sunday on Christmas Eve, it's my birthday. I can't wait till we get to 2024 because my girlfriend, Wednesday Adams, was in rehab for 1 year. She'll be out of rehab January 2024. I'm so excited. Sunny Singh's about to get laid, guys. I'm only kidding. Sonny, I hope all is going well, brother. Thank you so much, man. Hopefully, Wednesday Adams is doing very good. We wish her the best and wish her back in the venue. Michael Krause with a $2 super chat. What's up from Walla Walla? Hope you have a good weekend, bro. Thank you, Michael. Gonna go visit my grandma tomorrow, give her a Christmas gift. Early. OTS Tribal Queen with a $5 super chat. How do I commemorate my third year at Off the Scripts? A brand new long sleeve JD YWC Messiah shirt. That's right, folks. Represent. Hashtag OTS VIP for life. Tribal Queen, I seen that come in, and I was like, all right. All right, I like it. I like the energy. Thank you so much. Lauren with a $2 super chat. I think it will be a fatal four-way at the Royal Rumble. No. No fatal four-way. It could be a fatal four-way. That plays into the Nick Aldis thing as well. I don't know. I do not recommend the fatal four-way, though. Michael Krause with the $2 super chat. Will Orton beat Ric Flair for the championships? No. The only person to do that will be John Cena. Beyond the Script with the $4.99. I'll probably be asleep when you read this, but will finally be seeing my daughter Sunday for the first time since July. OTS for life. JD always number one. Enjoy that on Sunday, brother. It's going to be a great Christmas Eve for you. Lauren with the $2 super chat. Do you think Aldis will feud with Orton? Yes. I just went over it for 10 minutes. Michelle Moran with the $2 super chat. Did the demise of Roman finally start tonight? No, I didn't see anything. Said Suka with a $9.99. Just my opinion, no tribalism or anything, but Triple H is such a better booker than Tony Khan. Everything is organized with story and planned in advance. Building stars and feuds greatly, legit. 10 guys can be champ. Well, I mean, I say it all the time, man. They're just unorganized. AEW is just unorganized. A lot of what they do is just all over the place. You know? I don't like it. Chris Glover with a $25 super chat. JD! Happy holidays, Padna. Happy holidays, Chris. Appreciate you, brother. Chris Leon with an 18 months. Happy holidays. All the best and cheers. Thank you, Chris. Paul Van Tassel with a $5 super chat. From my family to yours, Merry Christmas to you and your family and drive safe on your trip to Florida. Brother, I'm not driving to Florida. I'm flying to Florida. If I drove there, I'd be out of my fucking mind. Bring in my Nintendo Switch and some Super Mario RPG. All should be fine. And an old-fashioned or two on the plane. Bradley Robinette with a 199. Merry Christmas, JD. Hope to meet you in Philly. I'll be there, brother. A flock of morons. I love the name. That describes the internet wrestling community. A flock of morons. A flock of virgins. A flock of geeks. Season's greetings to the tribal chief of the IWC. I got my gold microphone in 3 days. You, Jesse, and Drew have been on fire. OTS for life. Thank you, brother. Edward Liu with 28 months. Happy holidays to you, JD. You wouldn't be the same if you taped it in. I'm in full support of Pete Dunne naming or the name reclamation. He needs it back. Yes. I don't know why we're still calling him Butch. Tay-Tay, once again, brother, thank you for the 99.99. My guy, Dr. Evil Genius, through his Talking Shit podcast with a 4.99. Thank you, bro. Matt Eagle with a 4.99. They say when Vince gets removed, JD's heart grew 3 sizes that day. Merry freaking Christmas. I'm a happy man that Vince McMahon is not a problem anymore. Vince McMahon's nuts smell like money with a 4.99. 23rd birthday today. Love you, JD. Best places to be on my birthday. Having a cold spiced rum. Cheers. It's amazing. Matt Eagle said my heart grew 3 sizes when Vince got removed. And then following that, we got Vince McMahon's nuts smell like money. Thank you, brother. Jason Barker, thank you again, brother, for the $100 super chat. Lord Umbasa with a new membership. Thank you, man. Danny Rage with a $99.99. Thank you guys very much for your generosity. Sai747 with a new membership. What the fuck are you drinking, Sai? Lena with a 16 months. Merry Christmas, JD. Happy 16 months. Also, TK is fumbling the women's division. Mariah May tweeted she hasn't wrestled since joining AEW. I thought she was supposed to wrestle soon. No? The fuck did she walk into Tony Khan's office for? Thank you, Lena, for 16 months. Thomas Franco, thank you again, brother, for your generosity. $100 super chat from my guy, Thomas Franco. Cody Snyder with 20 months, 4 months until that gold badge. Looking forward to this ride we're about to take for those 4 months. Brother, you're about to get that right in time for WrestleMania, man. Couldn't book it more perfect. That's what I call long-term booking. Jared Howard of the $2 Super Chat. 4 Horsewomen versus Damage Control War Games 2024. Long-term booking. Absolutely. I could see that being the case for sure. Delightful Entertainment with a 199. Jimmy equals Matt. J equals Jeff. It's amazing how that kind of has panned out, huh? Eclipse with a $2 super chat. Did you miss Lee's promo? He has an open challenge. I must have missed it. I hate it. I hate open challenges. I think they're fucking terrible. Open challenges are fucking terrible. Tired of them. 2023 has been the year of open challenges. No. Get rid of them. Jared Howard with a $2 super chat. Roman's 54 title defenses over 1,200 days as champ. Yeah, it's kind of shitty, huh? What a terrible statistic that is. Heisenberg with a $7 Kanata super chat. The Aldis and Roman segment has major similarities to when Stan Edgar told Homelander that he isn't the top priority in the boys. If you know, you know. I'll take your word for that, Heisenberg. Delightful. delightful entertainment within $1.99. Two part-timers on one show is stupid.
Yeah.
It is. Eclipse with a $2 super chat. Bro, Zelina is also from Puerto Rico, and LWO has the Puerto Rican flag. Okay. What does that mean? Get her out. Get her out. Jared Howard with a $2 super chat. Go watch Silent Night 2023. Great action Christmas film. Okay. I'll put it on the list of things to do this weekend. Maybe. If I'm not intoxicated. Delightful entertainment with a $1.99. Personally, I think Solo sucks. Well, let's not go that far. Rafael De Luna with a $2 super chat. Great review as always. Plan to see Iron Claw. Yes, there's a movie theater 15-minute walk from my house. Right in town. If my movie theater in town doesn't play it, I'll probably end up catching it while I'm in Florida. Has anybody seen it yet? Is it worth the time to go see? Is what I want to know. Will Chisholm with a $10 super chat. With Charlotte and Bayley getting new deals and with Becky next, do you see Mercedes being the last one? The only woman getting new deals so far are the four horsewomen. I don't know, man. Well, WWE basically has driven up the price of every female after this for the duration of time. If that's what they want to do to run their business, by all means, they got the money to do so, but that shit gets out of hand very quickly. You give Charlotte that amount of money, then you got to pay Bayley, you got to pay Becky, you got to pay Sasha, and then everybody else that wants money. Bianca's going to want that same amount of money. Rhea's going to want that same amount of money. What happens when Tiffany Stratton gets big? She's going to want that amount of money. Cora Jade, Roxanne Perez. I mean, the list goes on and on. Then the men. Or if the men are free agents, hey, why are you giving Charlotte all that amount of money? I'm better than Charlotte. Think the men are going to take lightly to being overpaid by Charlotte Flair? No. Tony Brown with a $4.99. Is it just me or does Sky Blue have perfect booty meat? Probably the best in the business, brother. No doubt about it. Tyler with a $1.99. Do the Good Brothers come back to SmackDown soon? Yes, they were on the show tonight. Luke Gallows had an injury and Carl Anderson had a new child, I believe. Another child. His wife gave birth. Amy Van Tassel with a $20 super chat. Thank you, Amy. Have a good Christmas, JD. Amy, thank you very much and Merry Christmas to you and your family as well. I'm guessing that's Paul's wife, Paul Van Tassel, Amy Van Tassel. Thank you guys very much. Tay-Tay with a $4.99. I beat Super Mario RPG. Did a playthrough on my YouTube channel. Have you beaten Kulix yet? No. I haven't even played it yet. Eclipse. True, bro. Open challenges are terrible. Merry Christmas. Thank you, Eclipse. Susan D'Ambrosio with 26 months. Just wanted to wish you and your family and my OTS family Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Keep up the great work in 2024. Susan, we are only just beginning, as always. Jared Howard with the $2 Super Chat. Silent Night 2023. Same producers made John Wick. Ooh, I may like it then. Will Chisholm with the $10 Super Chat. I got to ask, what is AEW doing with both women's titles? I'm glad Thunder Rosa is back. But why with that Julia storyline, and what is the end game for Toni Storm? Well, the end game for Toni Storm is Jamie Hayter. And Thunder Rosa, I'm just glad she's back on TV, but I mean, I don't really give a shit about the Julia Abaddon storyline. I mean, who does? New Bendy with a 16 months. JD, Merry Christmas. I showed my family today some clips of you. OTS fam, thank you for all the entertainment. I hope you all eat yellow snow for Christmas. You showed your family clips of me. I hope I was, I hope your family's a fan of what I do, bro. Because I wouldn't show my family any clips of me at all. And Kelly with a $4.99. Hey, JD, been a while due to my barber career, but you're not alone on hating Christmas because my birthday is on Christmas. Merry Grinchmas to you. And OTS. Kelly, I love the fact that you and I hate Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. And hopefully your barber career is going very well. Guys, thank you for the energy tonight, man. Thank you for the super chats. I'd love if you guys can hit the thumbs up, man. I'm quite disappointed we didn't hit the goal. I don't know what the fuck's the problem. 750 likes is the goal. I only see 672. What the fuck is the problem? Guys are ridiculous. I give you this knowledge and this entertainment. You can't hit the fucking thumbs up. It's all right. I know you guys enjoy Denise better. What the fuck am I gonna do, right? Ridiculous. Seriously, who watches Denise over me? You gotta have like fucking three brain cells. And one eye over here and one eye over here, man, drooping. Anyway, I'm getting out of here. Hit that thumbs up, man. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206, X, Instagram, TikTok, Cameo. Go check out all the other videos on the channel. Hit that subscribe button and go check Magic Mind. MagicMind.com/JD from NY. Code JDNY at checkout. I'll see you guys tomorrow right back here with more news on Off the Script. I'll see you guys later.